every time I call my baby, try to get a date. My boss says,
no dice, son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure.
Have you ever wondered
about American breakfast habits? Well, they changed dramatically in 1894 with the introduction of Grenose, a dry breakfast cereal. The thin wheat flakes were developed by John and William Kellogg, doctors at the Battle Creek, Michigan Sanitarium, who originally created them to permit easier ingestion of food for convalescents who had broken her false teeth. Interestingly, one of the former patients, Charles W. Post, impressed with the Kellogg success, decided to get into the business himself. He created the first hot breakfast cereal, Postum, in 1895 and followed up 2 years later with Grape Nuts. In 1904, Post marked yet another successful cereal, Elijah's Manna, which due to church pressure he rechristened as Post Toasties in 1907. Our guest is Corey Heidelberger. Before we start chatting with Corey again, here's the number, folks, 725-5736. We'd like somebody to call who's attends the Britain store for Ken's and somebody that goes to the Eureka store. We're going to give each one of you a free $9 pizza. Just call in, 725-5736. Please be in the Britain or Eureka area. Corey, would you say that it just seems to me that there wasn't near the controversy this legislative session as we had a year ago?
I think you could say that. Well, in ways. Now, I think there was significant controversy surrounding the repeal of Initiated Measure 22. There were a lot of people who were upset about that, and a lot of the Cracker Barrels after they did that. There was a lot of talk about that, a lot of questions.
And that was, explain that
one. Oh, sorry, Initiated Measure 22, sure. That was the measure that the voters passed in November that dealt with campaign finance, that dealt with putting more limits on that, that dealt with public campaign finance,
right,
limits on lobbyist gifts, ethics commission, all that in one big package.
Right.
That was the one that the legislators, they filed suit against it, and then they got to town, and by the end of January, they had repealed that, stricken it right off the books. And there was controversy about that. But it's interesting because this year the controversy was what the legislature undid. Last year the controversy, you know, was what the legislature did. That huge, the sales tax for school funding to raise teacher pay. That was a huge, historic change in our school funding formula and in our taxation. It was a $107 million tax increase. That was something the legislature did that, you know, got a lot of people out to peer. There was a lot of lobbying, a lot of work to make that happen, a lot of people involved. This year, I didn't see any similar big new measure being proposed to really change, you know, how we do business on any of our major budget lines. The big news was just we're getting rid of what the voters wanted and then kind of implementing some replacements around that. But there was no real, there was no comparable big ticket item that happened compared to last year.
Okay. Real quickly, Scott, did we get a couple more calls? Or
We did have another call. I don't have it on the air. Just wanted to go on the air, but it was
fine.
Calling from Groton. He had family in the Britain area. So
okay, so we're still looking for somebody to call then from the Eureka area to win a free pizza. 725-5736 is the number. We're going to give out the we got three or four winners so far.
We have four.
Okay, so we're looking for a call from Eureka. And we're looking for a call from the Clark area. So if you live in either one of those areas or shop the Ken Super Fair, we're going to give you a free pizza. All you have to do is call and talk to Scott while I'm talking to Corey Heidelberg. Corey, first of all, let's give your website a plug. I know you have it during the legislative session, but is it on year-round?
Oh, yes. That's Dakota Free Press. And it's just DakotaFreePress.com, spelled just like it sounds. That is my political blog. I've been writing about not just the legislature, but lots of, you know, South Dakota political issues and economic development issues since 2005 in one form or another. And I do that all year, every day, pretty much.
Do you ever mention our senators or congressmen or women that are in Washington?
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, I'll just throw out one. For instance, I haven't heard basically anything publicly from John Thune in regards to Trump one way or the other. Am I wrong or am I not catching it? Or
our delegation has been cautious in addressing the actions of our president. They talk about programs, and one good example I could give you, I think, would be on the president's budget, the budget blueprint that was published this month. One of the provisions of that budget specifically says get rid of essential air service, the federal subsidy that makes air service to places like Aberdeen Watertown Pier possible. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you want to afford to fly from here, that does it. Trump budget says, nope, doesn't do any good. Let's just get rid of it. Not cut it, but eliminate it. Senator Thune and Kristi Noem, I can think of off the top of my heads, have both said since the release of that blueprint that they do that they support essential air service. They haven't said, oh, that darn Trump, we're going to... They haven't phrased it that way.
Right.
I'll phrase it that way for you. But our, you know, Senator Thune and Representative Noem have both said publicly they see essential air service as, well, essential. I can't think offhand if Mike Rounds has made a public comment on that specific issue yet, but he, you know, he's a pilot. Well, he's certainly been a supporter of essential air service in the past, and I would be stunned if he said now, like if you get him on the show next week, that's a good idea. If you get Rounds on the show, I'd be stunned if he said, yeah, I'm fine with cutting that subsidy. I don't think he'd do that.
Speaking of pilots, folks, let me just remind you quickly. Last week we had as our guest Jerry Krueger, who has been a pilot forever, and he has an interesting column in the paper every week, and I enjoy it. Anyway, he was my guest, and the reason I'm bringing it up, if you miss that show or any of our shows, say with Rich Little or Loretta Squid or any of the shows in the past, you can go to hubcityradio.com.
And just click on the KSDN page. That'll scroll down. You'll find the Don Briscoe podcast.
There'll be a banner of stations across the top. Punch KSDN, my iPods will come up, and you can listen to the show again. So I wanted to mention that. Also, I guess this would be a good time to mention my book today, High Noon, will soon be at the Aberdeen Public Library. Under new fiction down at the Aberdeen Public Library, they have a section called The Don Briscoe Show. And there's about 20 books in there, guests that I've had on, that are nice, popular. Last time I was in there, Star Flacker was checked out, and the book by Tippi Hedren, who was in Birds, was checked out. So anyway, there's a section down there, and if I have a guest on the show with the book, you can usually get a copy of the book to read down there at the library for free. Our guest is Corey Heidelberger. Corey, we're going to have some legislative measures come up to vote on this coming year. And I'd like to talk a little bit about those. Medical cannabis, folks, that's marijuana. And my own, I'm thinking no one conservative South Dakota will be about the last state in the whole union to maybe pass medical marijuana laws, but it will be on the ballot. And I say again, because it's been on before, and did I read that right? Is recreational included in this bill or just medical?
Well, it's complicated. Right now, nothing's on the ballot for 2018. That's the next time we'll get to vote on stuff. We don't get to do it this year, but 2018 is when we get to vote on initiatives.
Right.
So this year is when we have to start those initiatives.
Okay, so this is where we have to gather the signatures for all these things.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, because we've got a law, and this one kind of grates my cheese a bit. If we want to put measures on the ballot, we've got to submit them a full year before the election. And that's, I mean, it's kind of a hassle, because then it means you do your petitions this year, and then you come next year and you're campaigning, and people are like, what? I thought we already did that. You're like, no, that was just the petition. So it's a really long, drawn-out process.
So correct me now if... I believe it's been on, it's never even made it to the ballot, has it, in the state?
I apologize. I don't have my history here. I think we've had both medical and just kind of general marijuana laws on our ballot in the past.
Okay.
Most recently, there was an effort to put medical marijuana on the ballot in 2016. You know, the big year where we had 10 things already.
Right.
There was a group that tried to put medical marijuana on the ballot, but their petition fell short. So there was talk about it. There were circulators in 15, but they didn't get enough signatures.
Well, again, as I read the article, they talked about medical and general marijuana use. But what I'm saying is, if this initiative, as they write it, will they try to write both of it in there? It would seem to me, in this conservative state, that it would be make more sense to try to legalize medical marijuana as a first step before you threw in the other part of it.
Well, and the group that's working on these issues, they're called New Approach South Dakota. I know the gal who runs it, Melissa Metley, great gal from down in Centerville. They're going to have two separate measures. They wanted to do medical marijuana alone last time, but some technicalities nuked their petition. So now they're bringing forward the same medical marijuana petition, saying you can use it for health purposes, doctors give a prescription and all that. But they're doing a separate measure that would also decriminalize recreational marijuana. Now there's, and they regulate it, they tax it, they designate where they'd spend the tax money for. So, I mean, it's kind of modeled on Colorado where they talk about, yeah, they're selling pot, but they're also taxing it at whatever rate, and that money's going to the schools, the police, roads, whatever. So you'll, if these groups are starting their petitions right now.
Okay.
If they succeed, if they get over 14,000 signatures for each petition, then on your 2018 ballot, you will see, if they succeed, two measures. One saying medical marijuana, yes or no, and the other saying decriminalize recreational use, yes or no, along with the taxation of it. So that's what could be coming, but they got to get signatures first.
Do we happen to know on that particular issue if more Republicans or more Democrats are for or against it either way?
You know,
would it be safe to say Democrats probably more for it, Republicans probably against it?
That's generally the thought there. Although our Democrats who back this stuff can find our friends in the Libertarian Party who are like, hey, we don't want government telling us what to do with our bodies. So there are some cross-partisan issues there. Plus, I will say that in the legislative session, our legislature, including the Republicans, including Marty Jackley, backed one limited medical marijuana bill.
Oh, okay.
They legalized, and now it's very limited. There's one cannabis derivative. It's made by a pharmaceutical company. It's called, I believe, Epidiolex. It's targeted at this one kind of marijuana drug. It's still going through FDA approval
maybe
and all that.
Maybe to treat epileptics? Because I know that's one of the things.
I believe it's specifically that. It's that's one probably, malady. Yep. It's one drug. It's not approved yet. But basically, the Republicans approved a measure that says when that drug gets approved, we'll let South Dakotans use it.
On a side issue, talking about the marijuana laws, we all know what a disciplinarian Jeff Sessions is and how hardcore he is. And I think some states like Colorado and Washington or Oregon are a little concerned would the federal government maybe step in now and mute those laws. The latest thing that I read is President Trump has stated that when it comes to marijuana laws, he thinks it should be left to the states. So it sounds to me like probably Sessions won't move on that based on that comment from Trump, but
and
who
that's,
knows?
Yeah, well, and that's interesting. I mean, you got Sessions sending one signal, you have his boss sending another. I usually assume the boss gets to make the call, but we'll see what the next tweet is tomorrow morning at 3 a.m.
Right.
I will. You mentioned states' rights. It, just this week, this kind of hit the news because Marty Jackley released his explanations for those two marijuana ballot measures that you brought up. And his explanations emphasize, especially with the recreational one, that, yeah, even if we pass this bill, federal law will still make it illegal. So Jackley is sending the signal that he'll take his cues from the feds and say, nope, even if you pass this measure, you still can't go buy legal taxed marijuana.
Okay. One of the other issues that they're talking about is death with dignity. And I guess that's what you'd call your own suicide, death with dignity. Dr. Kevorkian, that's, I've got the name. Basically, and I believe some states already have that. I want to say it's Oregon or Washington.
Correct,
but
yes.
My question is, do you know if this issue has ever appeared on our ballots before? And if not, do you think that it will appear in 18?
First question, no. I don't think South Dakota has ever had a death with dignity or euthanasia, assisted suicide, take your pick. I don't think we've ever had a measure like that. You're correct to point out that Washington and Oregon have statutes like this, and the initiative that's being circulated, and again, this is the petition stage to try to put it on the ballot, it basically is the Washington statute. Washington State applied to South Dakota. So we have an example. We have a state that's done it. We can see how it's played out there and see how it works. And it's interesting because the supporters, they're very concerned about people saying, oh, Kevorkian, suicide, rah.
Right.
So they call it death with dignity, and they even have something written in the bill that says this shall not be called assisted suicide. But, I mean, Don, yeah, essentially you're right. The way the Washington statute works, and the way this one would for South Dakota that they want to put on the ballot, is it would allow doctors to prescribe a fatal drug. If a patient in, you know, terminal illness said, I just can't go on anymore, they could go to the doctor, and the doctor could say, this bottle will kill you. Here, I prescribe it for you to end your own life. So to the extent, I mean, the assist in the suicide there is that this law would allow doctors to prescribe deadly substances that an individual then could administer to end their life rather than suffering through a terminal illness.
That reminds me, when I was did this in Texas every day, I had Jeff Flieger on as my guest one day, and he was the initial attorney that defended Dr. Corkian. And actually, when Corkian, after the second or third time, said, I don't need you, I'll do it on my own, is when he was convicted. But this Jeff was kind of an interesting guy. The reason I bring his name up is years ago, there was a show called, I want to say, Jenny Jones, and they had guests on, and the long and short of it was there were three young people from Minnesota, or Michigan, I guess it was, and anyway, long story short, one of them said to the other one on the air, you know, I'm gay or whatever. Anyway, there was a big lawsuit, and he won it, and she was off the air after that, but I always liked the guy. It's 20 minutes before 6. If you've got a question for Jeff or Corey, our number is 725-5736. We're going to take another time out here, and I want to talk to you about your Medicare supplement. Now, we don't know. Well, I guess we do know. It looks like Obamacare is going to be with us for a while. So, again, if you've got any questions about it at all, the guy that really keeps on top of this is Mark Melhoff Insurance here in Aberdeen, along with Lori Baumgartner and Lauren Sear and his daughter. They all will take great care of you down there. And the reason I say that is I've been with them since I moved back from Texas and retired. I think this is my 11th year with them, and I think this is the third or fourth company I've been with. And the reason I end up being with different companies is every year they review my situation, my drugs, da-da-da-da, and say, this is the policy for you. And a couple of years ago, they saved me $150 a month. If you need a Medicare supplement, I hope you will call Melhoff Insurance here in Aberdeen.
Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, penis. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry.
Another Briscoe factoid.
Leonardo da Vinci was an ambidextrous workaholic. I find this amazing. He sketched with his right hand while he wrote with his left simultaneously. That's a feat. Very deep cleavage was a fashion trend in the 14th century. Some dresses were cut low enough to allow the nipples to be exposed. Well, if I ever get in a time machine, I know what century I want to go back to. An elephant can die from a broken heart. Okay, our guest is Corey Heidelberg. We're talking here about the things that they did in Pier and the things that may come up for us to vote on in 2018. One of the other issues, Corey, is the transgender students. That could appear as a ballot issue. That seems to be very controversial.
Yeah, well, and this is interesting, again, because this was an issue that our legislature has brought up. You know, they brought it up last year. And I think there were some thoughts about bringing it up again this year, and then they dropped it in Pier. They said, no, we don't want to have this fight. But so there are now some private individuals, a gentleman from Box Elder named Jack Hyde and some others, who now want to say, okay, fine, if the legislature won't ban transgender students from the opposite sex locker room, or if the legislature won't tell kids where they have to pee, we're going to do it as a ballot measure. So that's another thing that we may see petitioned. And I haven't seen the petitions for anything here in Aberdeen yet, but there is a group that wants to put the question of where transgender students should go to the bathroom and take a shower and change for the basketball game to a public vote. Now, the thing is that, you know, the High School Activities Association, which is formed and funded and voted into office by the high schools themselves, by our public schools, the Activities Association has already formed a policy. You know, and they say the schools will set the policy, they will make reasonable accommodations, and they'll, you know, if a student presents as transgender and says, I want to use such and such bathroom or whatever, the school has a talk with that student. They have a talk with the family, and they figure out, okay, what's the best thing we can do? That's the status quo. The measure these folks want to put on the ballot would just say, nope, here's how every school is going to deal with it. You will have that student use the facility that corresponds with their birth as indicated on their birth certificate.
Okay, it's a complicated one, and again, we don't really have the answer, but anyway, these issues may appear for us in 2018. What else did... Oh, Scott, you had a question, I think.
I think I had a couple of them. Let's deal with the gun laws. That was a big topic going on there today and going on out there. It was passed. It was vetoed. It ended up majority vote, but not enough to pass the vetoes. What are we looking at next year as far as are they going to be coming back?
Well, yeah, history would say absolutely, because we've seen... you know, concealed carry laws to expand the rights for that. We've seen those in previous sessions. We've seen this business of being able to carry a gun in the Capitol in various forms in previous sessions. Every year we get gun bills. Interesting difference this year was the NRA had a lot, their national lobbyist was here in Pierre to kind of look over the legislators' shoulders and say, you better pass permitless concealed carry. You better pass guns in the Capitol. And they got, you know, 40-plus votes in the House and 20-plus in the Senate, but the governor vetoed them both. And the sponsor, I mean, she was adamant Monday at veto day. She said, folks, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I see the NRA lobbyists sitting right up there in the gallery watching us. And mm-hmm. they still didn't get enough, the two-thirds they need to overturn the veto. But you can bet this is going to keep coming.
It's going to come back up. My guess is it'll probably come up. Probably going to pass both sides.
You had a second question,
I
Scott?
Did. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But I said it's going to probably pass both sides.
Yeah.
Gets to the governor. Governor will veto it. We'll go through the whole process again. And we're going to wait until 2018. And that leads to election time.
Second question.
And the election time is where we stand with the issue, with the gun issue, as far as the candidates currently running right now.
Well, of course, the only people who've announced are Republicans. So you can bet that any conversation among our candidates right now is, yay, guns, woohoo, need more, or something like that. That's the Democratic read of it. But interestingly, in the veto debate on Monday, Representative DeSanto, the sponsor of the concealed carry, the no permit anymore bill, she pointed out, she claimed that Marty Jackley and Kristi Noem are two Republican candidates for governor, that they both supported her bill. And she went further and said Chantel Krebs and Dusty Johnson, who are going to be running for House on the Republican side, they both support her bill. So, you know, she's saying among the Republicans, there's a lot of support for that. So conceivably, if the Republican wins the governorship, one would expect maybe a more favorable outcome than Dennis Newgard's been willing to give.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, I was just going to say, let me ask one more quick question, then I'll...
Real quick, because I got to get this...
Matt Minkles not running for re-election, is that going to play a factor in that as well?
Because that certainly affects the calculus, because now instead of a three-way race between three big Republicans, including Matt Michaels, who'd be the logical successor to the governor, just like how Dennis got in, or Dennis Dugard after mm-hmm. Mike Rounds, he's not part of the calculus. So for us speculators on the blog, that simplifies things. It's Christie versus Marty. Let's see who spends more money.
Okay. We've got two more pizzas to give away.
Yep.
I don't care where you live. Two more pizzas to give away. 725-5736. If you live near Clark, Eureka, Groton, Ipswich, one of the towns that Ken's has a Super Fair Foods, we're going to mail you this coupon. You'll take it into your nearest Ken's. Again, the number is 725-5736. You don't have to answer any questions. You just have to call the station, give Scott your name and address, and then we'll announce all the winners here in just a minute. I want to take just a second and talk to you about being a winner, and you'll be a winner if you're looking for an RV. And you head to Lee Belts. It's a time of the year when we get weather like this, you start to think about, gee, wouldn't it be nice to own an RV and pull up by a campsite and really enjoy the outdoors and the weather? Well, if you're thinking about an RV, we hope that you won't check any further than right here in Aberdeen, because they've been handling RVs for over 40 years, and people like their service, they like the prices, they take trade-ins. They've got some honey of a deal out there for you right now at the beginning of the year. Again, if you've thought about an RV in any way, shape, or form, remember, you don't want to drive out of town. You need to go to Lee Belt's RV here in Aberdeen. You're back here on the Don Briscoe Show. Our pizza winners were Jerome Geoffrey, Harlan Hypes, Larry Danielson, Ben Nelson, Stuart Arend, it looks like, and Pat Tollefson. Thank you all for being listeners to the Don Briscoe Show this afternoon. We will turn these names into Ken's Super Fair on Monday. He'll be mailing you out certificates to those addresses. We've got about 60 seconds left. Corey, real quick, anything that you want to mention?
Well, yeah, Don, I'm glad you brought up, you know, the initiatives that might get on the ballot for 2018. And you know from my work with the minimum wage and election law, I'm big on popular initiatives. I think the people, that's what democracy is about. I know people say we're a republic, not a democracy. But I'm like, you know what? We need more democracy. I trust the people. Let them vote. This session showed, with the legislature coming in right away to repeal something the voters approved, shows that maybe what we need more than any other ballot measure is a constitutional amendment that says, legislators, you don't get to repeal what the people do. I think we need to protect the people's will with changes to the Constitution to make sure our initiatives can stand.
Corey, I want to thank you again for coming out. We do appreciate it. We'll remind you quickly, on Good Friday, our guest will be legendary coach Terry Dosh, and a great Christian in himself. Remember, as always, to love each other, for each other, but especially for your children. You and yours have a good one tonight. If you can make the Don Briscoe Show next Friday at 4, you know we would love to have you.